We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Morning Show on a Thursday with John and Hugh. Going to be hot in Atlanta today. They say high near 80. February the 7th, near 80. Man of mercy. Break out your shorts.
No, you better not do that. Unless you want to be sick.
Does that really make you sick when you go from, like, hot to cold to hot?
I ain't trying to find out. I was always told that when I was growing up. But to have your body core temperature change like that, I would assume yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, you know, I've always heard that. That's why I wondered if it – I mean, I just tend to get sick regardless of the temperature. I have a never-ending head cold that I've had for, like, I don't know, 42 years. We are back on a day that's really busy, a lot of big news, and we'll see here as we approach 7 o'clock in the morning on this Thursday what the NBA has in store. That'll be a talker today. The trade deadline is in 8 hours from now. Will there be a trade? Will the Hawks make a trade? Will Anthony Davis happen? Remember, the trade deadline being at 3 o'clock Eastern time means that it's at noon in Los Angeles, noon in L.A. So, I mean, the Lakers got to wake up and go, okay, you guys are traded. I mean, basically. Because they haven't done anything yet, and it doesn't, I don't know, a lot of people thinking it's not going to happen. That's one big story. We're still reacting to National Signing Day. We're going to get the story on Georgia Tech and Jeff Collins on Georgia, number one class in the nation again, according to Rivals. We'll get that story coming up. But this reaction here, one of the things I think is interesting after what happened with Matt Bryant yesterday, and the reaction was obviously swift and shocking, was, and it struck me, Hugh, all the Falcons fans are out there, you know, pounding on tables going, you guys had better make big, bold moves this 7-9. And so the Falcons go, okay. And Falcons, here's your big, bold move. And the Falcons go, what? You did what?
That's what fans do, man. I mean, I think that fans tend to forget a lot of times that this is a business. I mean, first and foremost, this is a business. I mean, I understand you're in your fandom, but there are money moves that have to be made in order to get what you ultimately want. And it's unfortunate that Matt Bryant is a casualty of that. I mean, I get it. Matt Bryant was a heck of a player, no question about it. 43 years old, play as long as he's played, been through as much as he's been through. I get it. I understand that. But when you talk about the economics of the NFL and how the NFL normally works, when you look at, think about it like this, John, the average NFL player now, like the average was like 5 years to play in NFL, four or something like that. It's probably lower than that. You look at that, like most guys that play, especially across the offensive line, they'd be hard pressed to play 10 years. I think the average age for the offensive lineman now is like 5 to 6 seasons in the NFL. And then they've done a great job during this last CBA of getting exactly what they wanted. More bang for their buck. Because when you think about it, and I go back to O'Brien Schofield that was into his 7th season, and you're talking about a guy who had a pretty decent year here in Atlanta, couldn't get a job in his 7th season. And you look at how free agency is going and how so many guys that are in serviceable positions that are waiting around the longest time to get a job. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like Julius Peppers, as long as he's played, you're gonna be hard-pressed to see guys play like that now. It's just the way the NFL is designed.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Matt Bryant goes back to Tampa. I'm going to guess that is a strong, strong possibility. Tampa has not been, you know, their kickers have been no good since Matt Bryant left. We all know that if there's one team, notwithstanding the fact that Cody Parker missed a field goal for the Bears, if there's been one team that has struggled with place kicking over the last, you know, whatever, how many decade or so, it's been Tampa Bay. I mean, so much so that they used a high draft pick at one point to try to get a kicker, and that didn't work out. And so, I mean, they've tried everything down there. And with Keith Armstrong now as the special teams coordinator down in Tampa, I would think that there's a good chance Matt Bryant goes back to Tampa.
He might.
And means we got to face him twice.
He might, but it all depends on, John, on how much they are willing to pay him. Because it all comes down to money. And Matt Bryant's agent, I'm like, Matt Bryant is at a position, he's not going to take any pay cuts. Like, he's going to at least get a million. Like, he's looking at probably, I would say, as a vested player, he's probably looking at easily, like, they're going to have to start that conversation at $1 million, maybe even more than that. And, you know, when you talk about what he's been, and, you know, I know he's been hurt, they're probably going to try to throw this out there, but he's been clutch. He's been very clutch. So you're talking about wherever he goes, probably sign a two-year deal. He's probably going to get about $5 million.
Yeah, I just looked it up just because I was curious. The highest paid kicker in the NFL, according to SportTrack, is Graham Gano of the Panthers at $4.25 million. Chris Boswell of the Steelers, Justin Tucker of the Ravens, Mason Crosby of the Packers, and Ryan Sukup and Bryant are all $4 million plus. So, I mean,
okay, so he'll be about two or three. But that's what I'm saying, John. Like, with him being vested, that number bumps up because he's played as long as he's played. Because I remember when I played in the NFL, like, league minimum for a vested player was almost $1 million. That's the league minimum. That's the minimum. Like, right. If he signed
especially
a league minimum deal.
Yeah, his
and as long
service,
as he's been
right.
playing, yeah, as long as his service, it's probably going to be a little bit more than that. So if you're talking about to make it easier for you, you're going to have to sign him to, like, a 2 or 3 year deal.
Right.
And you're going to have to give him a signing bonus. So he's going to, like, if you want him, that's what you're looking at. That's going to be the issue. How are you going to sign Matt Bryant for that kind of money? How are you going to justify paying him that kind of money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you're looking at.
Well, it will be, again, interesting. Now, we don't know about Brooks Reed. Brooks Reed came out on Twitter yesterday on social media and said the Falcons have cut me. The Falcons have not made an official statement to that effect, but since Brooks said it, we'll take it that it's a done deal. I don't think Brooks would go out there public and say, I'm not a Falcon anymore, and start thanking the Falcons for all of his time here if it weren't true, even though the Falcons haven't said anything. So now you have, let's just say that Brooks Reed, Matt Bryant, and Robert Alford are the first three. Question is, what's next? Now that you've made these moves, and again, I go back to that, hey, you wanted big, bold moves. They're giving you big, bold moves at Flowery Branch. These are not just the big, bold moves cannot just be cut. Okay, I mean, you're going to sign Julio, you're going to sign Grady, you're going to restructure Schrader, you know, you'll have to make a decision on Vic Beasley. By the way, we're only down to three that we know of so far, but there'll be other guys that get cut, and these are not the only three. So you get rid and cut coaches, and now you go out and make a big, bold move to replace them with guys like Dirk Cutter. Now who do you replace these guys with? The kicker we know. Giorgio Tavecchio's on the team. And so we'll see what happens with Giorgio. I think he makes like $650,000 a year. And so that's where they're saving all this money with Matt Bryant. The fact is they're going to have to make some – I'm okay with whatever moves they make you, I'm going to be okay with, as long as they use that money wisely, because they're going to have enough money to be able to make a big move in free agency. At least one. They'll have enough money.
You're okay if they make the move. John, they're making the move to pay Julio – and Grady.
Yeah, they'll be able to pay Julio. They'll be able to pay Grady. And they'll still have enough money left over to make a big move in free agency.
You have to kind of be okay with it, John, because we still haven't even discussed how much this new salary cap is going to be. Like, they haven't gotten that. Technically, John, look at it like this. The NFL, the new 2019 NFL season has not started yet. We are technically still in 2018.
Right.
So you're making these moves technically to pay the players that you already have.
Right.
Because your new infusion of money has not come yet. It hasn't come yet. So you're cutting this fat off the team to pay the guys that's already on your roster. So you're cutting Matt to pay Grady. You're cutting Brooks Reed to pay Grady and Julio. That's it. My bottom line. Because next year, you're dealing with a whole new set of books. So you're getting – like, look at it as a company. You're getting this money off the books in 2018. Because technically, that's what you're doing.
Right. No, I get that point of it. And the salary cap's going to go up. We know it's going to be between 185 and 191. So which means with the amount of money that they're – even after they sign Grady and Julio, they're going to have enough March 13th is when the new league year starts. So you'll have you'll have plenty of money. You'll have enough money, even with signing Grady and Julio, to go out and make a big, bold move for agency. The question is, who are they going to move for, and you know, what can you get? And again, there's something here we don't know. We don't know who's going to be available yet either.
Well, again, since the new league year starts, would you say it on March 13th? I would not be surprised. I don't know if, like, I'm guessing here that I don't think that they would try to sign anybody before the new league year. I don't think so. I don't think so, but they probably could. There's no rule against saying that you can't sign your own players.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that.
Yeah, you could do that.
And that money would be like, and then you have the new league you roll in, and that money comes in. That might be something that might be the Falcons are looking to try to do. That might be the case.
You know,
you still got a little bit of time.
This roster is going to look appreciably different because while we have the, you know, certainly name value in the obviously name value in three guys who were two were starters and one was a key reserve or a rotational starter in Brooks Reed and a starter in Alford and a starter in Bryant. They're going to be a lot of the, you know, the backup guys who get let go too. You know, there's going to be a lot of change in that. Because remember now, Dan Quinn's calling the shots on defense and Dirk Cutter's calling the shots on offense. And with two new coordinators, they're going to want to get different players in here that will fill different roles. And because we don't know yet if Dan Quinn's going to, for example, change the defense or to what degree. Well, he's going to change the defense. The question is to what degree. You know, what does he want to do defensively as now the coordinator is making all the calls out there? This will be we said it was going to be a fascinating offseason. Look at this offseason. They let go of four coaches already and replaced them. They've let go of three, you know, key players, and we're not done yet. We're just starting. We have another, what, you mentioned it, 5 weeks till the free agency in the league year. 5 weeks. And then probably almost 9 weeks till the draft. So it's a lot going on. And listen, they could want to – I wonder something, too, Hugh. I wonder, because we can't know this, Thomas Dimitroff hinted at something when we were talking to him when we were at the Super Bowl, because he said it before. Now, he may just be gaming it, because that's what Thomas likes to do. We know for a fact one thing about Thomas Dimitroff. He is not shy about making a bold move, either in personnel or in coaching or in the draft, because that was that whole Julio thing. He coveted Julio Jones so much so he gave Cleveland a boatload to move all the way up to get Julio Jones. Does he covet somebody in this draft to be able to make that kind of a big, bold move to jump from 14 up to whatever to get that player?
I would probably say right now, no. I mean, because you look at that was the last time that they did a bold move like that was to get Julio Jones. I would say no. I don't think anybody in the draft moves them to that point as of today. I think that when you look at this upcoming draft, with the abundance of the defensive linemen that are in it and the opportunity or the possibility that a good one's going to fall to them, I think they're fine where they are. I really do. Every year in the NFL draft, there's always an outlier that comes in and kind of, if you will, throws the draft off. I know you're talking a lot about Kyle Murray if he goes in the first round. I don't think he's going to be that guy. I think it's going to be some other guys, but they're going to probably be on the defensive side of the ball because if you look at the draft over the last few years, John, you know, there are the quarterbacks that go, but the cream of the crop and the guys that really move the meter in NFL are the guys that are in the interior, the trench fighters, the guys that are in the trenches. You know, you have a few corners that you're going to sprinkle in there, and if you have a special running back like Saquon Barkley, he's going to crack in the first top 10. But normally it's guys that are in the trenches that go high.
You know, I believe strongly in the draft, and yes, you got to win the first round, but I always think that you tend to, if you look back in hindsight, you tend to, unless it's a quarterback, you tend to win the draft with your second, third, fourth round draft picks over the course of time. You've got to win day two of the draft. If you win day two of the draft in that third, fourth, and fifth round, that's where you get those Grady Jarretts of the world, you know? That's where you get those guys that become stars. You got to win there. I mean, yes, you want to win up front, but you have to win in day two because that's the bulk of the backbone of your team, and not just win to get you know, good replacements, but to develop stars out of those, and something that the Falcons have done. Devontae Freeman was a day two guy. You know, Grady Jarrett, a day two guy. I mean, you got to win those day two guys. But, now I'm going to say this, given what we just talked about to you about how they're making such big, bold moves now that they got to win now and the pressure that's on now, they have to win this first draft pick this year. Whoever they draft has to come in and be a star immediately. We are not in developmental stage yet.
Well, it's kind of been like that since Coach Quinn's been here, John, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there was an edict that we pointed out a couple years ago. What was it? Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, in that draft, I think it was, where they basically said, Mr. Blank said he needed three starters, and he got them. I remember having that conversation because that was a big deal. Everybody made it a big deal. We need three starters. Da-da-da-da. We got three starters. Excuse me. So the way that they – when you look at the NFL right now, John, as a whole, ain't nobody a developmental player anymore. Nobody. Who's developing outside? You can't even really say quarterbacks are doing it anymore. Like, they'll get a couple games, but they're starting even faster than they used to. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, guys like that. I mean, everybody that comes into the NFL nowadays, you got to sink or swim right now. You don't have the luxury of waiting to see if you can play or not. You got to play right now for the most part.
Yeah, a lot of reaction to Matt Bryant, Chris Belcher saying, you could be cut and re-signed at a lower number. This is a tweet to us after the new year money starts. Yeah, you can be cut and re-signed at a lower number. I don't think that's going to happen with Matt Bryant because, again, you already have Giorgio on the team, and he's, you got a kicker at $650,000 or whatever they're paying him. Giorgio Tavecchio is going to be your kicker next year, all right? And Matt Bryant's going to be somewhere else. BJ in Kennesaw says, we moved on from Brett Favre, and look how that turned out. Well, okay, that didn't really count. I mean,
why didn't it? Brett Favre's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but you had to have been. Look, all right, this standing at the sidelines in 1992 in Swanee watching Brett Favre with some other people, we thought Brett Favre was out of his mind. Plus, we already had Chris Miller.
We got Chris Miller. We don't need Brett Favre. Really? But then again, Atlanta turned a whole lot of folks out back in the day. So it probably did him a good thing by sending him to Green Bay.
Yeah, probably did turn him out. Yeah, right, exactly. Buckhead Brett, right? More of the NFL as we, again, very busy day, chock full of potential news all day long. You want to stay on 92.9 The Game all day long. A couple of quick NFL notes ahead, including there's another Antonio Brown issue, really? Again? Man, this guy's so talented, too. We'll tackle that as we continue next with John and you on The Morning Show after CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we tried to tell you the National Football League was going to be a lot of fun. This offseason is going to be wild. Free agency in 5 weeks when the league year starts, and yeah, it's going to be stand by and hang on because there's going to be a lot of players going here and there and everywhere. Everybody trying to catch up with the Joneses with quarterbacks like Nick Foles and what kind of a deal he'll command here. And Nick Foles thing, Hugh, is getting odder by the moment because now people are saying, well, maybe it'll violate the CBA if they try and tag him and trade him. I can't see a tag and trade anyway. Philadelphia cannot put itself in a position where they go on the hook for $25 million to Nick Foles and then everybody says, nah, no, no. You know what I'm saying?
I think if they tagged him, that people will be interested in him, knowing that they would probably move on from him because he's becoming a little bit of a problem. Because when he's there, say for instance, if Carson Wentz gets hurt again, excuse me, that he goes out there and he goes on another run, there are going to be people that are going to be calling for him to be the starter, definitely. Mm-hmm. Which, whether if it's warranted or not, they're going to be calling him to be the starter.
You know, and then across the state in Pittsburgh, we all know that the Steelers have issues. I mean, Juju Smith said that they're Kardashians inside that locker room. And you have Le'Veon Bell off the team now. Where will he end up? Antonio Brown's got another issue. There's a domestic violence charge against him. Now, we're not going to get into the he said, she said.
Wait a minute, just to be correct. Like, Le'Veon Bell is still on the Pittsburgh Steelers, correct? Because that, I don't
right, well, they could tag him again. Yes,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you said they let him, they let him, made it sound like they let him go.
Well, just no, they could transition tag him, right? And they could. I guess they wanted to. I don't know why you would at this point. What do you want to make him? I guess.
I mean, I,
if you want to be petty about it, I guess.
Why be petty? I mean, he's in a tough spot. If they transition tag him, if it was me, I wouldn't set out another year. Because what we talked about yesterday, they missed out on $14 million?
Yep.
On principality?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to miss out on. That's a lot of money to miss out on. But he did. He stood on his principles with that one. I commend him for that.
For AB, there's, and again, we're not going to get into the he said incident with his girlfriend, the baby mama. He says that she slammed the door on him. He wants to get custody of the child. She says that he assaulted her. The NFL is going to investigate. There are no charges, okay? None. So I don't know what's going on with him, but in this regard, in this instance, but at some point I just wonder, when you're, and this is kind of the question I have, when you're as talented as he Is there a tipping point for the franchise with all of his stuff? I mean, again, this is it's not fair to because we don't know what happened in this instance, but if
no,
this
but
were
it's
standalone,
one of those it's one of those things, John. It's like this. People get tired of hearing your mouth. Well, not hearing your mouth, but they get tired of hearing your name in the media all the time. They're just like here. You know, coming here, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Caffey, if every time he turned around, my name was in the newspaper for something, whether it was true or not, you get tired of having discussions about that, and you become more of a liability than an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there probably is some talk about Antonio Brown with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you're talking about incidents that are you know, the space between them are not that few and far between. They're kind of like it's almost every week there's something different going on with him. So I'm pretty sure that there's a discussion that has to be had as far as moving on from him. There has been talk about that being the case. I don't know how comfortable they are with doing that just yet, though. I mean, because you've heard that some of his teammates felt like, you know, with him being on the team, they're in a better position or whatever. But this rift between him and the quarterback, I've been a part of those, man. And normally, they always go the quarterback's way. They always do. So it's one of those things, like, receivers are expendable. You look at where he was drafted and where he was projected when he got to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's far exceeded their expectations for him.
Oh, yeah.
He's far exceeded their expectations for him.
Yeah.
For them. So with that being said, John, they might be comfortable moving on from him and getting another guy.
Well,
or going with Juju Smith and making him the number one guy.
Mm-hmm, which they could do. And, of course, his, you know, that's a franchise that has had, you know, you have no question that there is an alignment in the Steelers between Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin.
I tell you what, though, man.
Eye to eye, they're on the same page.
Well, you kind of have to.
And then you have Le'Veon and Antonio and other people not necessarily aligned with each other, but in disparate camps, not aligned with the coach and the quarterback.
The only place I would probably say where maybe that alignment is probably a little bit different, maybe, is maybe here. But I wouldn't go so far to push that. I would say that probably Julio gets the nod over Matt, but I would not try to test that. I would not test that, but that's how it normally goes. Quarterback gets denied where on mostly every team that you go to, you saw it in Seattle when it was Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson. You saw that, T.O. Donovan. I mean, it doesn't normally work out that way for the receiver. Pittsburgh, this ain't the first time that they've had. Who was the receiver? Man, I can't think of his name right now. But there was a few spats with the receivers for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the quarterback, and they moved on from the receivers. But, this is one of those things, man, where it happens. It happens. And the quarterback usually wins out.
Well, we saw all the changes at head coach this year and all these young head coaches coming into the NFL. CBS this morning on its website is projecting its new draft. It's just a mock draft. How much stock you put in it, I don't know. This, again, mock drafts are mock drafts. But because, for example, CBS has the Falcons now taking Greedy Williams. I just don't see them doing that. I just don't see the Falcons going. Maybe they could surprise me and go corner. But I just think the Falcons are in a position where they're going. They're getting interior linemen said and done. I mean, they've got to get impact guys up the middle. I mean, that's where they have to win. And I think they're fine with Isaiah Oliver. But CBS does say that there is some train of thought in Cincinnati that Zach Taylor, the new coach, wants to have a sea change, that he'll part with Andy Dalton and go after Kyler Murray in the draft. And and Andy Dalton could be out of Cincinnati. Well, Ryan Tannehill, we hear Brian Flores could move him out of Miami, and then he wants to go after Teddy Bridgewater. Suddenly we have Flacco, we have Foles. Could we suddenly have Dalton and Tannehill and these new coaches wanting to kind of reinvent the wheel?
Listen, anything is possible, John Freaky, but I don't see that happening because we've seen, like, there are certain constants in the NFL. Playing from the pocket as a quarterback is one of those constants. You look at, okay, what was his name, Lamar Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and how he played during the playoffs and how he got exposed a little bit, couldn't really throw that well, and how he got shut down a little bit. And people were calling for them to put Joe Flacco into the game. And Coach Billick basically telling us, when you change your offense, you can't put Joe Flacco back out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the – like, to say that, okay – you're going to go – Cincinnati has been a team that has been on the cusp of making it to the playoff, haven't won a playoff game yet with the Red Rifle. Now you're going to change that offense, that whole offense, to a style that does not have longevity in the NFL. The coach might want to do that. He might want to put Kyler Murray back there. He might have saw enough that Kyler Murray, he feels that he could take him to the next level. But from what I've seen from Kyler Murray so far, John, if he gets in trouble, instincts are going to take over. And his instincts are to make plays with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a pocket passer. I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. But who knows? I would honestly call BS on that story. I really would.
We've seen these guys who run, like RG3 could not reinvent himself into a pocket passer. And I don't know that, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson can so far. I haven't seen a whole lot that says that he can. Deshaun Jackson, for example, is a different story. Deshaun Watson can absolutely be a pocket passer. I mean, you know, there's no question in my mind that he has the ability to do that. I mean, he is not necessarily a run-first guy. He can be a more of a pocket guy. So, but again, I think that, you know, these coaches are going to feel so much pressure, especially the young coaches, to win and be dynamic, because they're going to be compared to what Sean McVay has not only given you the opportunity to come in if you're Cliff Kingsbury or you're, you know, Matt LaFleur, of course, doesn't have to worry about quarterback in Green Bay, or you're Zach Taylor, you any of these young coaches. Sean McVay is what the bar he's raised you is you got to be able to take a team and turn them around in 2 years or less. I mean, you're not going to get – there's no four-year reclamation projects in the NFL anymore.
That's how it's kind of been like that for a while. But now with these young quarterbacks, these young gunners in it, what they're doing now is giving younger coaches an opportunity. Because I remember back in the day, and it's been a sea change. But back in the day, I remember, I would say AT probably in the what, 90s, the middle 90s, 90, 99, 2000s. Like, coaches got recycled a lot. You would see coaches that would get fired with losing records, get a job somewhere else as a head coach almost immediately. The NFL has gotten away from that. Now you got the new young up-and-coming coordinators that are starting to get jobs. You've got the coordinators and the guys who touch the hands of great coaches who are getting jobs. And to your point, yeah, coaches, like that whole we got a five-year building process, nah, you got to do that now. I mean, Coach Quinn is kind of on the hot seat behind that now because what he's going into his fourth season here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
going into his fourth season, there needs to be a Lombardi trophy being held up real quick, because you look at coaches like Doug Peterson, who hasn't been head coaching long, who's already won one. You look at Sean McVay, who's already been the one who didn't win it, but they're talking about coming back. This is Coach Quinn's fourth season.
Yeah, well, and in 4 years, what has he done? Second year, he went to the Super Bowl. Third year, he almost went to the Super Bowl.
Almost don't count.
And almost don't count, right?
Almost don't count, John. I mean, not with the way you just laid it down. No, that don't count.
Rick and John are going to be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead tomorrow from 10 to 2. If you want to get your weekend started the right way, midday guys, 10 to 2, go have lunch there at Piedmont and Peachtree at great Twin Peaks, and enjoy the midday show with Rick and John live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Hawks, man, are they going to – you're going to get tired of seeing the Hawks. They're going to be at home so much. And it starts tonight with this huge game. How about them hot Hawks? Yeah, in a way they are. Talk about them next. John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime. Using the internet. Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NBA trade deadline is at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's so wild right now in the NBA that Harrison Barnes, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Harrison Barnes is playing in a game last night, okay, for the Dallas Mavericks. He comes to the sidelines at the end of the third quarter, and they say to him, you got to take a seat on the bench. You don't play for us anymore.
I don't think they said it like that.
He was traded during the game.
You got traded.
You just got traded.
How many times does that happen in the NBA? That doesn't happen a whole lot.
I've never seen that. happened before. Because normally, if a player is close to being traded, the team will keep him out of action because they don't want to run the risk of him getting hurt, and then that messes up the deal. And Paul Pierce evidently knew of this before the game started, because it turns out the two of them, he and Harrison Barnes, have the same agent. So he had some insight as he was revealing this news on ESPN. But yet, Barnes was in the game for at least a half.
You didn't even play with us. Go out there and play. All right, whatever. It's a weird situation. There are rumors floating around. Will the Hawks make a deal before the 3 o'clock deadline? There are rumors, Hugh, about Markelle Fultz and Dwayne Dedmon. These are just rumors that Dwayne Dedmon might go to Philadelphia for the former number one pick in the NBA draft. Markelle Fultz has never lived up to now that's unfair. He's so young. Has yet to live up to the being worthy of being the number one pick in the NBA draft. That's for sure. I mean, some of it was injury, and the others just can't shoot.
Yeah, and they're saying that the two teams that are reported as being interested in them are the Hawks and the Magic. And we were just talking about this. I don't know how he would fit into this team, and why would they make a move like that? Because he's probably going to have to be your number two, because you know what, you got Trae Young out there. But I don't know how that would fit with the Hawks. But again, it's just a rumor.
Right, it's just a rumor, and we'll see if the Hawks make any moves before the 3 o'clock deadline. And again, we'll see what else kind of happens here. But since the deadline is 3 o'clock Eastern time and noon in Los Angeles, there are a lot of people thinking there's no way the Anthony Davis deal is going to get done. Now, having said that, the fact is there's a lot of angst out in Los Angeles about that particular deal, because the original one that was reported anyway was going to send about 38 guys from the Lakers to the New Orleans Pelicans, including guys like Ingram and Kuzma and Lonzo Ball. And when LaVar Ball heard that Lonzo could end up in New Orleans, Louisiana, down in the swamp, LaVar was none too happy.
The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude. If you look at my boys, one thing they do is win. Being undefeated, Jello and Melo winning 60 games in a row. I mean, my boys don't lose too much. But when it got to the Lakers, they got that Luke Walton was the worst coach ever for Lonzo because he had a losing mentality.
Well, Luke Walton, yeah. I don't know. What do you have to say about that?
Luke Walton, I know. You know, we were just talking about it. We were talking about it off air, me and D. And for Luke Walton, this probably be his worst year coaching ever. And part of that is because of everything that's going on around him. I know he's probably, you know, there's been rumors out there that him and LeBron got some issues. And the fact that, you know, with this, they're potentially going to trade all of these young players away. Man, that has to be. Right now, the Lakers probably is one of the toughest coaching jobs in the NBA. Has to be right now. But, yeah, that's kind of crazy. You listen to what's going on with the Lakers and everything. Yes, Daryl.
Well, it was kind of like that before LeBron got there, though.
No.
I mean, this guy you drafted, number two overall.
Yes.
Number two overall, right? He comes out. He plays 4 minutes. You sit him. This was a religious thing. What kind of continuity can you build like that?
But who was but weren't they kind of in love with Kyle Kuzma, though, at that point, though?
But Kyle Kuzma is not your point guard.
I agree. I hear you. But
come on,
still,
if this is supposed to be your future.
Yeah, but that's the point that I'm making, is that this is the future. All of these young guys that you have, they're the future of the NBA. They're the future. And now it's looking like you're going to trade away all these assets and all these pieces for LeBron James, who's getting older, and potentially Anthony Davis.
Well,
and
I mean,
you don't know if he's not signed yet.
Right now, he's not Anthony. Do you see Anthony Davis in the next 4 hours going, or in the next 8 hours, 7.5 hours going to the Lakers? I mean, I guess it could happen.
Anything's possible.
I guess anything's possible. We actually have another cut from LeVar. To me, LeVar Ball, and you're going, who are you talking about LeVar Ball? He's such an interesting guy, because now you know him fairly well, D, obviously. You know him really well. I've only met him a couple of times. The two times I've met LeVar Ball, when you meet LeVar Ball when he's not LeVar Ball, when he's off air, he just is kind of a low-key, you know, just talk to you kind of guy. But you put a mic in front of his face, and this is what you get.
Were you a little afraid of LeBron, like the reaction LeBron would have?
I'm not afraid of Jesus. What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm telling you this right here. Everybody's saying you're not hearing nothing from me. But listen, if I'm over in Europe, you guys can't even get over there. You don't have a budget to get over there and hang out with me. So you can't feel what I'm saying over in Russia and London. I'm having a good time.
LeVar.
I had a European team over there. Then I come back to Cleveland. I'm over here in Cleveland. When LeBron left, I bring a ball boy here. Now we in the state of Cleveland. And you're talking about, come over here and talk to me. But I don't have to be in certain places for everybody to say, oh, LeVar is afraid of LeBron. What is LeBron going to do to me? I'm old enough to be his father. I got good insight to let him know how his game can go up.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's fun times, you know, in Los Angeles.
It's amazing how when you hear somebody, when they crack the mic and you've actually met them, you'd be like, that is the cat that I know. That is not the cat that I know.
Two different guys, man.
Yeah, two different guys. He plays it well. He definitely plays it well.
Yeah, he is a showman, and he wants to get attention for his boys. He does that. That's for sure. What's going to happen to that drama out there in Los Angeles? Well, man.
Well, you got to give him credit. He had stayed quiet for almost half of the season.
No, I know.
He was asked to be quiet, too, as well, right?
Yeah, he just told you where he was.
Yeah. Reportedly, yeah.
Over in Russia, over in London.
Hey,
you know,
man.
Anyway, just trying to
say. I'm not trying to hate on your dude, man. I'm just saying. They did ask him to be quiet, though.
But the problem is, but here, this is what he has to understand. Just because he doesn't want his son to go to New Orleans or any other team, he can't stop them from trading him.
Of course not. He got no
as
say.
As much as he would like to.
He got no say. Hawks tonight against the Raptors. Pregame at 7 o'clock, tip at 7:30, live at State Farm Arena. The Hot Hawks against Kawhi Leonard. Can they get the number one team in the East tonight with Trae Young against Kawhi? Hawks.com for tickets, and you need to be there. First game of a 7-game homestand that will include games against Charlotte and Orlando, and next Tuesday night, yep, the LeBron Lakers. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about National Signing Day. Georgia Tech. There are a lot of things that are really looking up at Georgia Tech in the flats right now. We'll tell you exactly why under the new coach, Jeff Collins, when we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.